Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and this is the New Africa Business Association along with Black Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we're going to be having an open mic, and during this open mic, our business folks or a business idea will be able to come on to the station tonight, and you can identify your business, and you can network market with other business associates, and we all will be identifying and talking about our business. Everybody was going to try to give all business folks who call in a brief moment to do just that, identify businesses. We're going to open up all the mics here in just a few moments. I am sort of taking a delay. I normally take a break at this time, but I don't want to do anything to lose my direct connect. Look like every time I take an early break, we have difficulties. So tonight I'm going to stay right on the air while I am on the air. And I'll be just let me give you some information until giving, like I said, some of our folks who are calling in, giving them a chance to call in, or giving those who wish to go to the internet a chance to log in. Let me just give you some information. For those who wish to call in, the call in number is 657-383-1372. And that's 657-383-1372. For those of you who wish to participate on the internet, again, you would go to blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. Again, blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL, and that should get you on the station this evening. I am going to go and open up the mics as I see those who are calling in. And just a second to see if I have one of my directors on. Director Umar, is that, are you with me?
Yes, I am, sir. I said I'm going to you, my brother.
Well, alaikum salam, Brother Umar. How are you doing, Nisim? I thought I recognized the 804 number. I'm going to, like I said, we're going to be having an open mic this evening, Brother Umar. Any business folks who decide to come on and talk about their business, we certainly are going to invite them. But in the meantime, you and I are going to get it started off. So any brief comments or any comments you like to make. And of course, Brother Umar is the director of Black Wall Street in the state of Virginia. So Brother Umar, any comments you like to make, go right ahead and do so.
So first of all, just peace and blessings to everybody. It's good to be back again. You know, basically what's going on, I'm headquartered in Richmond, which is the capital city of Virginia. And we are in the process of just trying to give structure by identifying those persons who are either members or have interest in membership in Black Wall Street and trying to build up our statewide board. So that's basically what's going on at this present time. We are looking at trying to get an insert into a local African-American-owned newspaper to get a kind of highlighting around several articles about Black Wall Street, as well as the New African Business Association, as an introduction through media. So right now, Brother Byron, what we're working on is really trying to get that brand of New Africa into the minds of the existing business community, as well as the information related to the Black Wall Street Initiative.
Excellent, Brother Umar. Again, that's why you was chosen to be a state director. And that's the type of a management we need from our directors. So I wish you all the success in the world on that initiative that you are bringing about. Again, we're going to have our mics open. So any our next caller, we see we have a few that are still on. If you'd like to introduce yourself and talk about your business or make a comment, the mics are open. Okay, all right. Well, then I will. The mics are going to continue to be open for most of the evening, but in the meantime, we're going to just continue to talk generally about business. And Brother Umar, we ask you to jump in anytime you want to. Brother Aziz is having a problem. He said calling in, so we expect his call to come in at any time. And I'm wondering if anyone else, sometimes it looks like we're having a problem on call-ins, and I'm just saying that should not be existing on a blog radio show. So if there are some out there that are having a problem calling in, please let me know so we can see what we can do about it, because we shouldn't be having any problems on a calling in. Again, our mics are going to be open most all evening. Tonight is a night for you to introduce your business and talk about whatever business and network with other business owners this evening. That's what we're going to be doing. I do want to let you know that we are constantly promoting the Black Wall Street commemoration. And, you know, that's the commemoration from the destruction that happened down in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921 in the Greenwood community. The Greenwood community, a very successful business community. Matter of fact, the Greenwood community was so successful until the African-Americans from all over the country, that's where the name Black Wall Street came from. From the Greenwood community. It came from African-Americans all over the country who was able to succeed in business and other financial growth because of the success of the Greenwood district and the monies that they was able to dispense into other communities. That's how fortunate and how rich that Greenwood or the Black Wall Street community was during those times. And that's I'm looking forward to the commemoration, where we will have our experts telling you about the huge success. And many of those who are probably still living in that area today will be able to be presenters and inform us as to what happened, not only during the success of the community, but what happened also as far as the destruction of the community. So again, we look forward to those of you who will be supporting, and we ask everyone to support the commemoration event that would be taking place, I understand, next year. And of course, we're hoping that those who are members, I'm sorry, those who are presenting that program, and they're from the Oklahoma, they're from the Tulsa area. Brother Aziz, I think I just brought you on. I'm asking you to mute yourself because you're bringing a little noise with you.
Okay, I don't know where it's coming from, but yeah.
Okay, right now you're on. We look forward to your participation. This is my co-host. He finally came through, Brother Aziz. And Brother Aziz, of course, like we said, Brother Umar is also on. Brother Aziz, he's going to make some further comments. He made an opening comment that you missed, and it was a very valuable initiative that he's they're promoting down in Virginia, and what they're promoting could be a great big value to the entire nation. So I will hopefully he'll be coming on
doing the show and making more comments. But right now, you being a co-host, I'm going to let you open up with whatever comments you like to open up with.
Yes, greetings. Greetings, and I send greetings to Brother Bilal and Brother Lamar, and so to the listening. I just was glad to get connected on here, Brother Bilal. I don't know why every week I have a problem getting on my home phone. Must be something wrong with the area I'm in, because I really, really need to look into it. I call in 5 minutes early and just sit down, and the phone number is out in California where it goes to. And it just doesn't do nothing. I've got my home phone, I set up, and I say, I don't know how to rectify that. So if y'all got any suggestions, let me know about that. But I did want to say that ahead of time, for those that are listening, the third week of this month, which is next week starting Monday, will be National Business Women's Business Week. So we want to see if we can, for our next show, bring, you know, a number of women that are in business and let them tell us about their businesses and enjoy that. But that's what I had to open up with, Bilal, and I'm ready to see this initiative. He listened to the initiative that Brother Omar has. It sounds like it's going to be something exciting.
Okay, I look forward to it. I do want to mention, any of you, Brother Osley, do you know anything about African Americans having a business, a huge business seminar in Only, Maryland this weekend? Anyone have any information on that? I certainly would like for you to bring it to our attention. But this is going to be in Only, Maryland. And what they are trying to, it was reported that during this pandemic, African American businesses have increased hundreds and hundreds of percent. I think someone had reported that last year, this time, we had about 33,000 businesses. But now, during this pandemic this year, it was reported that we have over 300 and some odd businesses now. So business has grown tremendously in our communities. But what the a lot of the business, the new business owners are very concerned about is that we're getting all of this attention and getting a lot of hype about being in business at the present time. But what's going to happen, and how can we contain this business growth and business information, especially being informative on how we can continue to do business with each other and keep this business growth and momentum going? And that's what this business event that's going on in Only, Maryland, and it's supposed to be a pretty big event. And but it's all about African American networking, getting to know each other, and then seeing how they can start organizations as to where they can keep doing exactly what the New Africa and Black Wall Street is proposing, and that is a business organization where we can continue to identify business and do business with each other throughout the country. So again, our mics are open this evening, and anyone who has a comment on a being in business and how we can keep our business objectives going and doing just what the New Africa Business Association and Black Wall Street is already doing. And I can tell you right now what it is. It's we need members. We already have the organizations. We have New Africa Business Association all over this country. And they didn't just start. Imam W.D. Muhammad started the ABA, which is the American Muslim Business Association, way back in 1995. They changed our name in 2005 to the New Africa Business Association. But New Africa Business Association, along and before then, American Muslim Business Association, we have businesses incorporated all over this country. And these businesses not only go back to our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, but it goes back to his father. So again, we're going back to the early 1920s and 30s. And during the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there was more black businesses in the country than has ever been in the history of this country. So again, these business, having a business association and asking the question, how can we sustain our business identity and then be able to do business with each other? You just simply join our business association, Black Wall Street and the New Africa Business Association. And you can join either organization by going to the New Africa Business Association.com, Washington, D.C., and go in there and you'll see where you can go to our membership and join. Or you can go to the Black Wall Street USA.org. And you can also go to the membership and join from the membership icon. And so we invite you to go to our websites and see what and now, like I said, the two powerful business associations that has associates all over the country now have merged with each other. And of course, we have also the American Muslims Business Association, which is the a national for all of the New Africa Business Associations throughout the country. And the and so that would be the American Muslims Business Council. And of course, they're located out of North Carolina, and you'll be hearing. And so, like I said, the to keep we've the business organizations. What we need is business participants and members in order to keep our organization going, and as to where we can bring you up to date business information, and then have you also advertising and sharing your business information so our community can do business with you. I am going to go back to the mics. Again, like I said this evening, the mics are open. Anyone who has a business and wants to talk about your business, or if you have a good business idea, or politics. And mention of politics, we only have a few more weeks before election. I sent out an email today from a very active a brother here in the Washington Metropolitan area, Brother Abraham Mookman. He's been working in politics and working with politicians for I can't tell you how many years, but he sent out a message today, and I encourage everybody to go to the email that is on our email list. And see what Brother Mookman is telling you about voting and the electoral vote. Very important information there. So I suggest everybody register early and get your vote in, because we do need some leadership. So again, I am going to go back to the mic, and I'm going to open the mics up. I welcome your comments.
Yeah, okay. President, I'm on the react to some of your comments as you say that Black Wall Street, as well as New Africa Business Association, are affiliated throughout the country. At one point in time, you know, that was called the Black Pages, which was a directory of various business and services that, you know, that basically gave a kind of outlet for advertisement, but more importantly, it gave the opportunity to for identification of the various businesses because they were characterized, you know, in such a magazine. Is there any thought around, you know, a Black Wall Street, New Africa, on the state level or on the city level by compiling such a listing of businesses, or, you know, in terms of having a directory, be it media, virtual directory, or hard copy? Now, I'm raising that as a question, as a way of continuously expanding the network, you know, maybe starting out with maybe just a local and then obviously moving to a state level format. It could be, like I say, it could be virtual format where one can plug in and see the various businesses, ownership, what kind of services they have, what kind of, you know, what kind of product or service they provide, you know, and in terms of expanding that connectedness.
Yes, yes, Brother Umar. As a matter of fact, that's the objective of going to our website and hopefully from these websites, we can start business directories, and not only locally directories, and national directories. And then we not only can do that, but we can do what I call shopping centers. And this is where, right from the New Africa Business Association and from Black Wall Street Business Association, and having all of these large memberships, now we can actually do whatever product that these businesses have for a sale. They can actually not only be members of and be in a membership a directory, but they can participate in our shopping center. And this is where now you actually selling your product directly from our website. And our websites, because we have such large popularities and because we have such a large memberships, you can now, a business person who is actually selling whatever product they're trying to sell can actually sell right from our so-called shopping center. I say so-called until we actually put the terminology, but the objective is to be able to not only to have a business directory, but also have a site where business folks can also use the New Africa Business Association and Black Wall Street, and they can get a clientele, and they can use us to build that clientele. And so that's one of the considerations that initiatives that we're trying to put together as we speak. So again, yes, what you're saying is being considered, but I think we as managers are going to have to come together and just put that together professionally.
Okay. I guess, you know, like in the Virginia area, most local governments under the minority business support system got a listing, which is public, it's in the public domain, of various businesses. That is a possibility of acquiring those lists. So it's just a matter of, like you said, if you do it on a digital format, virtual format, or, you know what I'm saying, solicit some funding, grant money possibility to actually do a publication, you know? because the information is already there. It's just a matter of compiling it and basically, you know, I'm saying maybe actually creating a job for some of these young people as we were in journalism to actually put it together.
Well, of course, one of my very good suggestions, like I said, it's just a matter of professionals like ourselves putting this together. But the idea of having being able to identify our businesses and actually doing business with each other, that's what our objective really is. So again,
well, okay.
anyone who have any comments on what we're talking about, feel free to come right in. That's what tonight is all about: network marketing and sharing ideas. So our mics are open. We welcome your suggestions, our comments.
Yeah, brother. Well, this is our brother Aziz. I was gonna say, you know, when we go on the internet and that, and you know, research different cities and about black businesses, and different cities have on the internet listed different black businesses, similar like a directory. But there's nothing that there's directories for like each little city. Stating, you know, telling about different little black businesses that's in the town. But a national directory for all the businesses in every state, I don't know. I haven't found that yet existing in anywhere. But I'm sure that, you know, we'd have to put one together to put something together like that, you know. And I understand the Chamber of Commerce will let you know about those things too, but there is also a black Chamber of Commerce, a national one. And maybe that would be a place we can look into, too, to see about if they have a directory, a national directory on businesses. But I'm not sure if, you know, that's something to look into, but that's something we need to, because as a lot of us know about the Green Book that existed years ago that was, pardon?
Can I be heard?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes.
I'm supposed to be on mute. I'm sorry.
Oh, go right ahead. We mics are open.
No, Brother Bonham, I didn't want to interrupt anybody. It's just right.
No. The mics are open. Stay right in. No, go right ahead. Go right ahead, Sister Raheem.
Actually, I was talking to my brother. He wanted to know what was the program about, so I was trying to listen and talk to him as well. But anyway, I'm just glad to be on the call with my brothers and sisters, looking forward to everybody coming. You know, well, most of the people getting involved, you know, with Black Wall Street. So I'm excited about that. Things seem to be falling right into place. What we need sounds
great.
Like it's so I'm so excited about it.
Okay.
Don't have my secretary
great.
Yet, but we'll get there.
And brothers and sisters, I was just saying, I was just saying that the commemoration of Black Wall Street, Black Wall Street commemoration of 2021, and it's being put together by the Black Wall Street Committee right there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Sister Bahima is one of the directors of those who are putting that program together. So if anybody have any questions about commemoration, this sister, along with hopefully some other her other organizers, are on as to where we can ask questions and find out about registrations or how we can be sponsors or how we can buy tickets or whatever information or vending or what have you. You can ask this sister and they'll be able to answer.
Okay.
We're going to go right back. The mics are open and we welcome your comments. Okay. Again, go right ahead, Brother Aziz.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw this program about driving while black. I don't know if any of the listeners saw this program. It was on public television. It's a public television documentary. And driving by while black, it goes back from the 1930s on up to today about African Americans and blacks getting in the automobiles and driving around the country and how bad it was way back then in the 30s all the way up to today and the different things that we had to do. And it showed how blacks set up businesses in different places, wherein when you were traveling from Detroit to Alabama or somewhere, there were certain places that you could stop and get service from different African-American black business, because going into the white communities and that, at the gas stations and that in the stores, you would have to go in the back to a window and let them know what you wanted to get. If you know, if you got served, it would be out in the rain, out in the weather, where the Caucasians would be going inside and conducting business as usual. And the documentary showed one place where two brothers dressed up nice in suits and that, they pulled into the wrong place by a motel and a gas station. And the mistake they made was by opening the door to go in, and the Caucasians came in, man. It was like a bloodbath. And it didn't show how that ended, because it was just showing how our people all along through the years had to endure this type of hostility in America when we were riding around, driving around some of the places that we had to go on dirt roads and things like that, because in the 30s in that, America didn't have super highways that led all the way across the country. But what this did was, by all this discrimination against us when we got automobiles, and they talked about how, and all of us know about this, traveling and your mother, your grandmother, and them, they cook some chicken and make some other things that you could eat along the road, because they know it wasn't nowhere you could stop. Well, in the process of all this going on over the years, that's what started blacks to have in businesses. And some of those businesses, those hotels and stops, still exist today. The Dewdrop Inn, the Marcellus Place down in Louisiana, some different black establishments that have been around for many, many years. And they served as like a lighthouse for us when we were traveling back in those days, to go to and communicate with so many people of your own, get information on things you needed to know and stuff like that. But it contributed to the businesses. And back then, it was a number of black motels or hotels or boarding houses where you could come into a town and stay. Musicians had to deal with that and traveling around, black musicians down south. They couldn't stay in none of the, you know, the white hotels or anything like that. But this driving while black thing, you know, not only highlighted the racism that we had enduring that, but I also got out of it how African Americans or blacks set up businesses back in those times, and they were flourishing because they were just doing business with us, and that money was in our community, and people really were doing good in those days when they were doing business among ourselves. And that was by force. And it showed in this movie, in this documentary, how it led up to today, because of us being able to go outside of our communities and shop everywhere else. It showed these black businesses one by one disappearing. The ones that we used to have to go to because we needed to, and that took the time out to serve us, now their businesses are dwindling away. And the main ones mostly left is like some food businesses, as well as we have still in the country, I'm not sure exactly, maybe 21 or 28 black-owned banks. And two of those big black-owned banks, one from out in California and I think another from Arizona, just merged to form a new bank that's in Washington, D.C., called Citibank or something like that, Citibank. And I just wanted to say this, that documentary led up to, it really highlighted, in my opinion, and that is Driving While Black. That's a documentary that's out now. It really highlighted how we did business with one another and how, it, you know, our community since then, the businesses have dwindled. And this is something that we really need to pull together to direct our people when they are traveling in that. And that's what Brother Umar was saying about the directory, how we can stop wherever we go in places and eat and stay at a hotel, as well as any other venue that we would, you know, like to, and know that's there for us and that we will be contributing and helping to build the wealth in our community all around the country. But I just wanted to let any of our listeners know about that. That is a documentary out that's new. It's called Driving While Black, and I had the chance to see it last night, even though it was at a late time, from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., but I did see it, and I passed that on to anybody that would like to see that move and get. It just showed pictures of everything back in the day. It showed where we, when people came home, when we came home from up north working in down south and had lovely cars and things like that. It showed the police stopping us, stopping our, you know, with the families and that, and, you know, stopping you for only one reason, wanting to know, to make sure that you own that car, that you didn't steal it from somewhere or something like that. These type of things that we had to encounter. But, that's all I had to say about that.
Brother Zeus, if I may chime in, I think you have really identified a major sector of the economy, which we are major contributors, that is the hospitality and special event planning. You know, I think if we can get the investigation going whereby, you know what I'm saying, that data could be made available about the millions of dollars that we spent traveling, and kind of there is a group that I associate with called the Black Hotel Developers. There is a African-American group that has contracted with double the Hilton and the other major hotel entities, where they got contracts to actually build major hotels. But the critical point is the, you know, creating that mindset in this new generation that spending their dollars by choice will be in African American enterprise. But I guess what I'm asking really is, how do you take that idea that you just presented to us and get the major players to the table and kind of coordinate that business plan? Because you've got individuals out there professionally that, you know, that can give you that data about the consumer dollars, and it's in the millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars that African Americans spend traveling throughout this country. Matter of fact, globally. But no one is tracking that as relates to, like you just said, the state of affairs around hotels and hospitality. You know, and where are we at that venue? Restaurants, hotel development, and the other amenities that go with, you know, hospitality. Even to the point, you know, one point in time, we used to have our own transit system with the bus lines. You know, that was a major business in the African American community. Long before you had the Greyhound, there were other independent owners of traveling buses, you know, that had the church and other groups, you know, across the country.
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, we got a history of enterprise. The question is, strategy to bring it back into the mindset that we've done this before, and now that we have a trillion consumer dollars, I mean, we got to find a way to get those dollars back, you know, circulating within the community again.
I think that's the effort.
That's a very good point you raised around the hospitality industry. You know, and I mean, those are millions of dollars going to hospitality.
May I speak to that?
Yes.
Okay, this is Sister Rahima, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I wrote a piece called Regentrification and You, because that's exactly what's going on in most of our larger cities. And I see the solution to that as being, first, you have to put the money in the hands of the people in the community. Give them a chance to get some of that money that you're talking about when it comes to hospitality. Let them be the hospitable people, and let our black contractors come to Tulsa and do the work for them. So I wrote this piece that I sent to the Color Change, but it sounds like really it needs to go with this committee that you've just spoken about that's dealing with hospitality, and I'd like to read it and see if how you all feel about it. Do we have time?
Please.
Okay. In May 1921, I'm going to read the first part real fast because you know most of this. In May 1921, angry mobs descended on Greenwood, Oklahoma, and destroyed 36 blocks of houses and businesses. Some of the displaced moved on to other states, especially to California. Many of the prominent community leaders were killed. Those who migrated farther north in Tulsa got in where they could fit in, stopping short of a Tulsa town called Turley. The rest of the men were marched off to jail, were detained for 2 days. Soon they were released because Caucasian business owners found themselves to be in dire straits since they had almost no competent workforce. A similar situation happened in the decade past when Americans discovered that Mexicans were sending most of their money back home. Oklahoma was big on laying off Mexican workers, only to find that they were jeopardizing their own business. Those who escaped going out of business quietly rehired these irreplaceable people. By this time, Latinos had gotten a good foothold in taking advantage of the cheap land for housing, rebuilding schools, and improving their places of worship, especially in Tulsa North, as you will see. Today, more and more land is being lost by underemployed blacks in Tulsa North, as most tenants and owners are not financially able to maintain their properties, and as downtown Tulsa seeks to expand north. A recently built casino along with Tulsa's Vision 2020 and Vision 2025 are in full swing, with much construction going on because of urbanization and gentrification. However, one will be hard-pressed to find a black contractor at work here, except maybe at Langston University, where it is said that students who matriculate at the being built nursing school on Greenwood at Langston University will receive their degree from another local university on Greenwood and not at Langston, from Langston University. Black property owners are becoming less and less, and the ecosystem is being compromised with the felling of so many trees for new construction. However, you can reverse that. It has been reported that most of the buildings on this last block of Black Wall Street are not black-owned. None of them black-owned, I know now. For example, our only natural health food store now has a Trump campaign sign visible where you can keep. Although many years ago the federal government approved this block to be an historical site, the state of Oklahoma has not. However, Senator Kevin Matthews assured yours truly again in March that we are working on it. This is the wave of the future. The struggle continues, and you can help rewrite history. How? With regentrification. How will that work? First, most make plans to enjoy the new Black Wall Street Centennial Festival in May. Also make plans to spend time in Tulsa with family, friends, and the wonderfully friendly people. Help them to make your stay in Tulsa pleasant by refurbishing their homes or their shopping centers. Arrangements may be made for most to be out of their homes for at least a month, as renovations are being done under a solid contract. Some own houses that no one lives in, as do yours truly. Pick a house. All black contractors should stay in North Tulsa in a house, on a campsite, or move from the property to one property to another as they are renovated. And or they may set up in Tulsa a month in advance a month or two in advance as is necessary, ordering as much materials as they can find from black businesses will also help our black economy. A willing black property owner of a lot, a house, or garage, or daycare center will be required to move in with family or friends or a hotel for a month or so, depending upon the needs of the property and the terms of the contract. As a generous donor or business partner under contract, both partners will check to see and agree that, one, taxes are current and paid up to 2023, two, city citations are satisfied, three, property will brought up to at least Section 8 reverse mortgage or Airbnb standards at least, four, you or someone you designate occupy the house for the Black Wall Street Centennial Festival for a week around the Memorial Day weekend, and five, a plaque may stand on the property that says, some celebrity slept here, and a kind of reverse mortgage agreement would exist if agreed upon. Or you may choose to just stay in a home with one of our upstanding citizens. That can be arranged. Or you may want to just purchase land next to a thriving daycare center in Tulsa. Of course, these suggestions can be fine-tuned to accommodate the parties involved in whatever is agreed upon. New Black Wall Street is open for office is available to get this party started. You may choose an even better name than regentrification. This project can also stand as proof that our people care about each other and can come together, showing the world that we can work together given the chance. Yes, together we can map out an example for other cities to follow. Here is our chance. Black Wall Street USA, Tulsa's Bobby Eaton Show, radio show, and Black Wall Street, the Tulsa North publication, are ready to go get the show on the road with publicity. What do you say? That's the end of that. And I just wanted to get a feedback on that. Is that possible that we could do that? I know there are a lot of celebrities that are interested, and it could really be arranged where they have the money and they could afford to do this instead of going into a hotel downtown. If you put the money in the people's property, it gives them a chance to build up the community, and at the same time, give them a chance to make some money. What do you think?
I think it's excellent. I think it's an excellent idea. And the reason I say it's a sure enough idea, Brother Aziz, from your comment,
yes.
The comments you just made about the story you happened to see on TV, that's an old story, let's say this. Saying that to say this. During before integration and during times of segregation of Jim Crow or any other hardships that we had to go through in our community, you see, we were forced at that time to do business in our communities because there was nowhere else to do anything. So you had to make your community prosperous. And they did. They made more monies back then. We had hotels. They may not have been the best, but they had the restaurants, whatever accommodation they had to make for superstars like Sam Cooke and Otis Redding and all of the big superstars that had to travel. They did this. My point is this. The African American community today, since after integration, that's when we lost all of our businesses, and we just lose the businesses. We walked away from our community. And we've been walking away from that African American community ever since 1965, when those integration laws came, was passed. And today, African Americans are 97 or 98% consumers, And being nothing but consumers, we're spending outside businesses because of inflation. Last year, we spent more than $1.3 trillion. Now, this year, all of the large businesses are already seeing in November, we're going to start Black Friday. And why are we starting these Black Fridays? Now, they're going to pay you a lot to give everybody a chance to shop early. But no, that ain't why they started Black Friday. They made so much money last year from Black Friday to the 1st of January. They, as a matter of fact, there's a statistic that reports that when it comes to African-American females buying hair, during the time of Black Friday, which started just before Thanksgiving, until the first of the year, just in buying hair alone, we spent more than $100 billion in just those few days, in just buying hair. So again, our consumer spending is probably the largest of any group in this country. And so that's what I've been, that's what I keep saying. Go back to what you give up and which was your Black community. Build businesses right back in that community again. And start what you actually give up to go to live in a so-called sophisticated white neighborhood. But by abandoning your own Black community, you couldn't compete as business folks. The white man don't need you in his community. Talking about coming into his community building a business. No, he's doing all of that. But it would be profitable for you to go back to your own community, especially when you're seeing you're spending more than $1.3 trillion and you're spending all this money during a Christmas holiday. Take those monies back into your, in other words, build those same businesses that you guys are talking about that we was had years ago during the oppressions and the depressions, segregation and Jim Crow. Bring back those businesses. Those, they were successful then, and they will be successful today. But we abandon our community, and we give up a consumership in our own community. That's what we need to bring back. Again, our mic is still open. We still got a few minutes. By all means, we welcome your comments.
Brother Brown, I think one of the challenges of the transition from a segregated community that Booker T. Washington philosophy dominated is the loss of real estate in central cities due to gentrification and the marketing of the corporate community. We have not yet internalized how to make those group investments in the African-American community by ownership
yes.
of the property. It comes back to an educational or knowledge base as to how significant and valuable real estate is. Most of the major cities, no one could ever thought that Baltimore would be a gentrified community based upon the heroin epidemic of 15, 20 years ago. What I'm saying, across this country, real estate is being uprooted. So the whole notion now of a so-called Black community or an ethnic enclave is being threatened.
Oh, yeah.
Because politically, our leadership is not speaking to that. The religious leadership is not speaking to the loss of land. So, I mean, like, everyone seems to be in a drunken state when it comes to the economics of land ownership. So, I mean, I don't know, may Allah help us in how we get this new narrative of how important real estate is, urban real estate is, to get some kind of redress around how do residents of that community either get access to rehab loans, mortgage origination, where they can actually buy the properties. Because, you know, I don't know what's going on in other parts of the country, but I know in Richmond, we don't even have what we call an African-American community no more. All our African-American communities have been at least 35 to 60% gentrified.
Yep. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, and that's all across the country. And our churches are not speaking to it.
Yeah.
Our political leadership is not speaking to it.
Precisely. Now, Brother Umar, that's why, Brother, I can tell you right now, I've been, Brother Aziz and I've been dealing with businesses, the Business Association now. This is our fourth year. And I can tell you right now, for the last 4 years, when it comes to business and business identification and trying to stimulate businesses in our community, we haven't heard from anyone but ourselves in the last 4 years. Even our business, we don't have a business association. Like I said, the imam and them, they started these things, but again, we abandoned these organizations. So again, today, as we speak right now, I can tell you, the New Africa Business Association, and of course Black Wall Street just merged with us, but we're the only ones that's making this, that's sharing this information and trying to save the African American community and show the African community how valuable it is, because the African American community don't believe in their value. And No, like I said, go right ahead. We've got a couple more minutes, and as you know, we'll be going to Black Wall Street right after this, we go off the air here. Let me give you that number so you guys can participate. That's 712-451-0683. Access number is 614-060-POUND. Let me repeat it. 712-451-0683. The code is 604-060-POUND.
Brother Bynum, for that. And you know, maybe I'm a little more optimistic than most of the people on the line, because I want to move forward. Like I remember back in the day, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if we would think, forget about the white man and think, do what we are supposed to do, 98% of our problems will be gone.
That's where
we are.
That's
right. I think that we have an opportunity with what I just heard about the organization Brother Omar was talking about, the deals with hotels, and what we're planning on doing with Black Wall Street. That's exactly what we want to do. We want to bring the heavy hitters into the city to help set up Black Wall Street the way it needs to be set up. In the northern section, we're not even thinking about downtown because they've already taken that over. But where the people still have their property and the property is still cheap, we want to be able to salvage what we have left, and we can do that. We can set a shining example. Now, in the 60s, we know this spirit was high. But I've read that what happened in the 60s when they integrated, what they did, you know, the brothers had on their dashikis and their bush and their natural and their, and their fancy clothes. And they told them, okay, we will let you into corporate America, but you've got to shave your head and change those clothes and wear a three-piece suit. And we saw men downtown, you know, spending more time, money on their suits than they did probably on their rent, you know, trying to look the part. But see, now we've been through all of that, and we've used to all of that, and we see all of that. We understand all of that. See, Baltimore became the richest. Maryland became, between Maryland and Alaska, they became the richest states in the Union. And they said it about 30 years ago. Said, okay, we're going to get rich, and this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it through education, medication or hospitalization.
Okay. We're about to go off the air, so we will see everybody at 8 o'clock, Black Wall Street. We're switching over as we go.
Yes.
Right? See you in about 1 minute.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.